Today is Pentecost, sometimes called the birthday of the church. It's the day that the Holy Spirit came with fire and wind. It's found in the second chapter of Acts. This is just after Matthias has been added to the 11 remaining apostles, and they have come together on the day of Pentecost. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Before Pentecost was the birthday of the church, it was one of the three great biblical festivals where people made a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem to worship. The festival of Shavuot, or sometimes called the festival of weeks, was that ceremony. This happened 7 weeks after the Passover. Pentecost is the 50th or 50 days, 50 days after Easter. It's that festival, and there they are. They're all gathered together. Verse 2. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit enabled them. This is where the church is born. When the Holy Spirit comes with wind and fire and other languages. It was one of those kinds of days where you might ask, where were you when? Where were you when the Holy Spirit came? We have those kinds of events in history. Many years ago it was, where were you when you first heard about Pearl Harbor? And people could tell you. Later, it was the assassination of President Kennedy. Where were you when you first heard the news? If you're a little bit younger, maybe it was the Challenger space shuttle explosion. I remember walking into a classroom, and everyone was very quiet because they'd just gotten the news. Or a little more recent, 9/11. Do you remember where you were when you first heard that planes were flown into the World Trade Center? And maybe even this COVID-19 will be one of those times where people would look back and say, where were you when the stay-at-home order was put in place? Where were you sheltering in place? There are those big moments in life that are talked about years and years later. And Pentecost is one of them. When the Holy Spirit comes, and the church is born. It was one of those days, and even today, here we are talking about it and remembering it. And we keep telling the story when the fire came like tongues upon the apostles. Let's continue. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we all hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean when people of all backgrounds, Romans and Arabs, Africans and Judeans, Asians and Iranians, what does it mean when people like that share an experience of God? One that doesn't reject their difference but honors them by speaking their own native language. Well, it means that the Holy Spirit has come and the church is about to be born. Because that's the essence of the church. We are all so different, but we are all included in God's salvation story. It's there for all of us. But even then, some didn't get it. Verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." They didn't get God's plan. And so they think, these must be a bunch of drunk idiots. And even today, people don't get God's plan. They think that Jesus is just for them. That God's salvation story is just for them. And everyone else is something less. They just don't get what God is doing. Verse 14. So Peter explains what's happening there. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Holy Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is breaking down the divisions. God is breaking down the dividing walls. As Ephesians 2:14 says, God is breaking down the dividing walls of hostility that separate people. And God is writing each of them into the salvation story, offering to all the Holy Spirit and a place in what God is doing, because God knows no distinctions between races or languages or nationalities or whether you're a man or a woman. God offers us all a place in what God is doing. It is the very essence of the church. For all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He continues with his explanation in verse 22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." He says, you tried to stand in the way of God's plan, you tried to stand in the way of God's work in Jesus Christ, but God still found a way. And in fact, God is actually writing you into that salvation plan as well. We continue. David said about him, "I saw the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence." Fellow Israelites, he says, "I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he's received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah." Peter tells them, "You think your story is separate from the story of Jesus, but Jesus is actually part of your story and is today. And even though you tried to stand in the way of Jesus, God is still writing out that story of salvation, and God is still including you in it. Even though you led to his crucifixion, yet still, he is your Lord and your Messiah." And then he finishes. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the others, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." When they heard this, when they heard the gospel message, they said, "What shall we do? What shall we do?" Pentecost is known for the miracle of speaking in tongues. But the bigger miracle was not so much the miracle of speaking, but the miracle of listening. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes to those 3,000 people, not when they each got a tongue of fire on their head and the ability to speak in a different language. The Holy Spirit comes when they listen to God in their own language and realize that they are all included in the salvation story. Romans and Arabs, Africans and Judeans, Asians and Iranians. And they repent and are baptized into one body, the body of Christ, the church. And the miracle of Pentecost, the miracle of listening, still happens today when people hear God speak to them and they repent and they come together as one body in Christ. And their hearts are set on fire to create the kind of community that models the Pentecost church, all together, all different, all honored, all saved, all one in Christ. This week in Minneapolis, we are reminded of how far we have to go in creating a world like the Pentecost church. With the awful death of George Floyd, the anger and frustration of persons who have been treated as less has boiled over. And now the only fires that people are thinking about is the fires in Minneapolis and not the fire of the Holy Spirit. And people will say that the church's vision of a people all coming together, each one honored for who they are, each one experiencing the blessing of the Holy Spirit, and seeing themselves as in God's salvation story, people will say that that's a pipe dream. But we know better. We know it's God's dream. And through the Holy Spirit, it shall come about. It was started at Pentecost, and it will be brought to completion through the work of God's Spirit, who still come to people of every nation under heaven. And so let us listen to the gospel. Let us repent of the ways in which we have stood in the way of God's plan. And let us be the church. Let us be a church that's an example of Pentecost, an example of God binding us together through the Holy Spirit and making us one as a witness to the world. Let us pray. Oh God, today your church celebrates Pentecost. the great miracle when people from all over the world were brought together and united by your Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus Christ. We're honored with your miracle so that they could hear, and with the gift of your Holy Spirit. And they found themselves in your salvation story. But we look out at our world and we see a world that seems so far from that. We remember before you George Floyd and his family and friends and all those who are grieving. We remember those before you who have suffered from racism and from violence. We remember before you those who have lost their businesses in fires in Minneapolis, but also because of the COVID-19 economy. We remember before you those who are responding to needs, such as firefighters, doctors and nurses, and our police officers. And Lord, we pray for mercy on those who have violated the sacred trust that you have given them. Lord, we pray for every nation, every race, every language, every tribe, every person in this world, that they might receive your Holy Spirit, might come to faith in you and know salvation, and then might be a blessing out in the world to others. Lord, we are your church. Even if we can't be together right now in one building, we are your church. So wherever you have scattered us and sent us, maybe be witnesses of the kind of love and peace and justice that is part of your plan. All this we pray in your name. Amen.